The U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Welcome to episode 205 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. When you suffer the loss of a baby, there's no formula or checklist to grieve and heal. Grief is such a unique journey that presents itself differently in each individual. Life after loss can be a roller coaster of emotions filled with anxiety, anger, sadness, and love. Frustrated. Today's guest is using her loss experience to bring light and truth to the struggles faced by Black and Brown women as they quietly struggle through miscarriage, infant loss, and infertility. Teresa Mitchell is using her voice to create a documentary on life after loss. And in this episode, she shares how she suffered 3 miscarriages, had a rainbow baby, and discusses the struggles, complications, and the inadequate care Black and Brown birthing people face in hospitals and wellness centers all over America and around. Today's episode is for you to listen to if you want to learn how to navigate life after loss. Be sure to check out the show notes for a free downloadable life after loss guide. Here is Teresa Mitchell.
Welcome, Teresa, to the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Erica.
You're welcome. So I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Hi, I am an executive producer slash writer for a documentary, an up-and-coming documentary called Life After Loss. It's a documentary sharing my loss of my 3 miscarriages and also telling other women's stories, talking about the healthcare system, the disparity between Black and Brown women when it comes to giving birth, having birth, and just trying to get pregnant.
Yes, but we all know that you have a story that inspired you to start this documentary that you're working on. So take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us a little bit of your story.
Yes, my story is overwhelming. I am 1 out of 4 women that will have a miscarriage. I had a miscarriage in 2011. That was my first. I was 15 weeks. My second was in 2014. I was 18 weeks. And my third was 19 weeks, and that was in 2016. My first miscarriage, I didn't know what was going on. Just woke up one morning, and my water broke. I thought that maybe I was just, you know, probably heavy or something was going on in my body, but I didn't know. And then I rushed to the doctor, and they told me I was having a miscarriage. They didn't tell me why. They just told me I might have an incompetent cervix, but they didn't over give me more information regarding that. So they told me only way they can know is if I get pregnant again. So me being young, not knowing anything, I got pregnant again. So super excited for this one because it took me a long time to have the courage to have another baby. So when I did decide on having a baby in 2014, it happened again. 18 weeks. I was feeling kind of leakage down there, but I didn't know exactly what was going on. Then it finally happened where it was leaking a little bit too much. I ran to the emergency room. They told me like, oh, it's just probably you're a little wet, but you're not, you know, about to lose a baby. So there I got an appointment with the high-risk doctor on Thursday. It was actually a Saturday, and he booked me into seeing him doing a consult on Thursday. Tuesday morning, I just kept leaking. And then I went to the emergency room, and he was like, oh my God, you're having a miscarriage. And I was like, oh, not again. Now my world is just like, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Now they finally telling me I have an incompetent cervix, but it can be fixed if we do a transvaginal discharge, if you get pregnant again. And I'm like, I don't want to get pregnant again. I just want you to fix it now. And he was like, no, you're fine. You can just have a transvaginal and you can have another baby. Here we go. Third pregnancy, 2016. I got the transvaginal cerclage. When I got that done, it was just like so overwhelming because I didn't know it was going to help. I was just so nervous. I was just so scared. I was still dealing with my two pregnancy losses. Now having a baby now was just like, what is going on? And then it happened again. I got an infection. This time, it wasn't due to the incompetent cervix. It was due to the infection. And now I had to, what they call it, a sephrodic abortion. Had to make this tough decision. Either I'm going to save my life or if I'm going to kill both of us. And if I keep the infection in me longer, I might die and the baby's going to die. So I had to make this hard decision to terminate the pregnancy, to get the infection out and regroup and get myself back together. When that happened, I wanted to just die. I wanted to not even sit in the room and talk about it. I didn't want to share my story. I didn't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I just didn't know what to do. I was just like, three babies gone. Why is this happening? I had so many questions, so many answers not being asked. It was just too much until I finally was like, you know what? I need to share my story. I know I'm not the only one. And then I got the courage of talking to one lady and she told me, maybe it is your incompetent cervix. You can probably do a transabdominal cerclage. And I was like, what was that? She was like, it's a surgery that ties up the top portions of your cervix. And I was like, wow, okay, where can I get this done at? And she was like, there's only a few doctors that do it. So at the time I was living in Florida. Nobody in Florida could recommend me to somebody to do it in Florida. So I had to travel all the way to New York City to have it done by a Black doctor. She was an OBGYN doctor and she did it. And I got a transabdominal cerclage and then I had my rainbow baby. But through all that difficulty of processing everything, I was just like, I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one that's feeling grief, loss, hopelessness, angry, sad, unwilling to have somebody tell me I can't do something, but I know I could. Having my questions not answered, that was a no-no for me. Like, I wanted to get everything that I know I deserve, but how do I have the resources to get it? And for me, just advocating for myself, for me, just talking about it, I found the answers that I was longing for. And now that I am coming to terms of just understanding what I had to go through, I definitely wanted to share my story and share other women's stories. So that's my little thing.
Yeah. So tell us about your rainbow baby's journey, your pregnancy after loss. How was that journey for you? Did you experience some of the same anxieties and fears that you had in your previous pregnancies up until, you know, when you actually had the losses in the second trimester? And then how did the rest of that journey through that pregnancy go for you?
So my journey with having my daughter was, it was a lot of anxiety, a lot of built up being denied coming home with a baby. So when I was pregnant, when I got pregnant, I was just so feeling like, oh man, I'm about to lose this baby again. So every time I went to the doctor, my blood pressure would go up. And I was like, this is not normal. I'm okay, I feel fine. When I'm home, I'm fine. But when I come here, I'm not fine. Because I think I was just scared of knowing that you're going to say that I'm about to lose her. And I had to find a way how to project this negative energy and make it to something positive. So when I was pregnant with her, I went to go see a therapist. And my friends were telling me, why are you going to see a therapist while you're pregnant? I said, because I think I am traumatized from the fact that I had lost three babies. And every time I come from the hospital, I'm coming home with a box. That is not a good feeling at all. And every time I go to the doctor, my blood pressure is extremely high because I'm just feeling like so overwhelmed and you telling me something negative. I can't just remember me sitting in the bathroom with my last pregnancy just crying. And the doctor was just knocking on the door telling me it's going to be okay, you're going to be all right. But I didn't want to hear that at that time. So me carrying her, I was like, this is too much negative energy that I'm projecting on her, and it has to change. So when I went to therapy, she told me that it's okay not to be okay. And it's all right to have all these feelings and emotions, but how do we address these feelings and emotions? And I was just like, I don't know. I'm just scared of losing her. And she was like, I just need you to do something for me. I need you to go home and watch something funny, just to keep your mind off of it, just to keep your energy and your positivity going. Just go home and self-care for you. Watch something funny, eat something good. She's like, I don't care how bad it might taste, or you know it's not good for you. I just want you to go home and just make sure you're okay. So I went home. I watched Martin, the whole episode, a whole series of Martin. And I laughed the whole time I was pregnant. I watched Martin. I watched the Wayans Brothers. I watched Bernie Mac show. Like, I just wanted to keep myself laughing and positive to having her and trying to keep my mind okay with the fact that I'm actually going to have a rainbow baby. And when I gave birth to her, it was just like this amazing feeling that I don't even know. Like, every time I watch her, she's two now. Every time I watch her, I'm like, Jesus, I did this. I'm just so amazed. And I'm proud of myself, but then sometimes I'm like, oh man, I went through so much just to have her. And I definitely want to tell the story so she know that she was loved from the time of conception till now. Like, she is just my pride and joy. She's my rainbow. She's my angel. She's my miracle. She is just one of those little persons that I just want to hold all the time, even though she tell me, mommy, no. But I fought hard to have her. I went through shots to have her in each butt cheek every Monday. And I'm still going to therapy just to, you know, keep processing it. But just to get that feeling to be like, oh, I had her. I'm like super excited, I think. I know. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I'm so happy that you shared your journey through therapy and counseling and being able to express yourself to someone else who's unbiased as you navigated that journey. But as you mentioned, this led you to wanting to share your story on a different platform and stories of other women and parents who have gone through this. So what was your inspiration and why did you choose to want to share it through a documentary form?
I think my inspiration was, you don't see anything like us. You don't see Black women expressing themselves as far as telling their stories, even if they had a good pregnancy, a bad pregnancy, or a miscarriage or loss. We don't talk about it. And my thing is, why? We go to therapy, we have our conversations with our girlfriends, and I understand that it's probably sad to talk about, but once you start talking about it, it gets a little better. And I met a lot of women over the years, especially my family, my friends, and my friends' friends and their family. And we all get together and we talk, but it's never seen mainstream. Like, you can read an article about it. You can probably see a movie that touch a little bit about it, or a series that touch a little bit about it, but they don't actually have that in-depth conversation or have somebody to change the narrative that Black women are supposed to be strong, that Black women can do this, and they are right. All they got to do is pray about it. No. I just wanted to have ourselves to have this conversation and to have the ability to be okay, not to be okay.
Yes. So tell us about the documentary, where you are in your stages, if people want to be a part of it. Give us all the deets.
So the details are, we are trying to film either in the end of April to the beginning of May. Hopefully COVID will allow us. But this project is about women and men telling their stories about loss, miscarriages, men on their side talking about how they felt when either they lost or either they had a baby or try to support their woman in didn't have an opportunity to, or women just want to share these stories, even if they are had a miscarriage or had a some type of loss, or even if they're struggling to have a baby and want a baby, and it's just something that is not, you know, helping them in their struggles, come on and talk about it. We are here. We are here to listen to you. And we want to open up the interview process where other women like you can see this and hopefully get some knowledge, some research, and some resources out there for them.
Yes, absolutely. So what other tools or resources that you have used to help you really navigate your journey to where you are now?
Resources is a lot of therapy. we just started this project last year, and the resources that we have now is talking to doulas as yourself. And we just had come to the understanding, we didn't know anything about doulas. You ladies are amazing. I just want to put it out there. I didn't know that y'all deal with fertility, grief, postpartum. Like, you guys are out there putting in the work and getting women to understand the process of their bodies. And you guys are our resources. Like, I didn't know anything about what was going on until we started talking to you guys. All I knew growing up was midwives. I thought you had to have money to have midwives, and I thought you had to be in a certain type of bracket just to have a midwife. But now talking to you guys, like, no, doulas is all around. Doulas can help you process whatever you're going through at your stage of life, even if it's trying to get pregnant, after pregnancy, during pregnancy, whatever is going on with you, they are there. And now we're talking to a few doctors that on a clinician side that feels like this story needs to be told, because we are one out of three Black women in America that would die at the hands of childbirth, or one out of four will have a miscarriage. So we need to change this narrative. We need to embrace it. We need to put more resources out there. We need to change things in the healthcare system that we know that it's systemic racism in the healthcare system, and also hopefully change some bills and get some legislators and some policies changed so it can help out Black and Brown and all women around the world, especially in America, to bring home healthy babies.
Absolutely. So where can we learn more about you and this documentary? Where can we get in contact with you for those who may be interested in participating? Let us know the details.
Yes, if you want to tell your story or have somebody that you think that will want to tell their story, please reach out to me. It's T Mitchell, T-M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L 4544 at yahoo.com. You can also call me at 718-506-2707. Just in case, if you don't want to email me, you can absolutely call me. I am here. We are here. We are trying to interview and talk to a lot of women this month and next month. And or if it's men too, if they want to join, or grandmothers, anybody that wants to share their story, share their experience, or know somebody's experience and wants to share theirs if they're not comfortable. Here, we are open space. We are here to listen. We are here to commend you of being strong to actually tell your story, because it's hard. Because me, I'm still trying to get comfortable telling my story. But you can reach me at 718-506-2707 or tmitchell4544 at yahoo.com. And the documentary is called Life After Loss.
Awesome. So thank you so much, Teresa, for being on the podcast and sharing about your upcoming documentary. We'll have to get you back up here once it is live.
Thank you so much, Erica. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. There are so many ways to connect with the Sisters in Lost community. Join our monthly support group, our Sisters in Lost Healing Collective, at sistersinlosthealing.com. Join our free Facebook group at sistersinloss.com/community or text SISTERS to 797979 to download your free Journal to Healing ebook. That is SISTERS to 797979 to download your free Journal to Healing ebook. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sisters in Loss and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Yeah, girl, we on YouTube at Sisters in Loss TV. We love you for listening. Keep the faith. Until next time, this is Erica and I'll talk to you soon.
of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.